If you're in John chapter 16, verse number 11, the Bible says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." Let's read it together. Would you read out loud with me? Psalms chapter 16, verse number 11. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." I'm going to take a moment and pray, and then we'll get into the message. Ask God to speak to your heart as I preach to you a message entitled, "The Hunger for Happiness." The hunger for happiness. Lord, I pray that you would be with us this morning. I pray, God, that you would calm my spirit, that you would give me clarity of thought and liberty to preach. Lord, I pray that you would allow me to let go and let God. I ask that you would strike from my mind and my thought those things which you would not have said, but that you would put there, Lord, everything that your people need this hour. Lord, as a people, we are hungry for happiness. I pray, God, you would teach us from your word where that comes from this day. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thomas Jefferson penned in that great document that defines our country that we are endowed with certain inalienable rights: life, liberty, and what? The pursuit of happiness. Our founding father did not, of his own imagination, come up with these words. Thomas Jefferson actually borrowed them from John Locke, who said, "Life, liberty, and property." I have to wonder in my mind if Thomas Jefferson thought that the pursuit of happiness and the acquisition of property were one and the same. I mean, he swapped out that last word. I mean, he borrowed the rest from John Locke, and he put in there, "We have an inalienable right, the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness." He put that in there, and I don't know if he thought it to be the same. I mean, we could not maybe until we get to glory be able to know what was going through his mind at that time. But what I do know is that now we are living in a day where we have a generation of people who believe it is their right to be happy. They believe it so much, they believe that everybody else exists for the purpose of making them happy. The problem is everybody thinks that. And when everybody thinks that everybody else exists for the purpose of making them happy, nobody's happy. By the way, let me just throw this out. Mom and Dad, that's a lot your fault. Because you start teaching children that when they're little kids, that you exist to make them happy by how you act with them. Because you let them go first. I tell my kids to wait. The adults go first. Nowadays, parents are like, "Oh, I want to take care of the child." So all the adults are standing around while the kids get the hot food and the first pick of the dessert, and the fresh ice cream. The kids get the best of all of it. And the parents, I mean, I know you want the kids to be happy, but what you're teaching them is you exist for their happiness. And that's not what we want to be teaching them. We want to be teaching them what God's word says about why we're here. Mankind today is on an all-out pursuit of happiness, even to their own demise. There is this unshakable hunger inside which cannot be satisfied. They desire to be happy, and they go after it in this life in every way possible, in every way thinkable. They look for happiness, and they seek for it in every type of satisfaction available to man. Yet they're not happy. That hunger is so strong, man would seek it at the destruction of his own life. At the destruction of his own life. You know, it's amazing. We do this. I talked a little bit about it in Sunday school, about how the devil blinds our eyes and the devil gets us to go after that joy and that thing that we think will bring us happiness. And Christian, let me tell you, don't let the devil deceive you to think that satisfying yourself by fulfilling your flesh, by going after that worldly lust or desire or ambition will bring you any joy. It won't. Come on now, are you guys awake? That's not going to satisfy you. It's not going to meet you. It's not going to fulfill you at all. You know, the matter of fact, you know what's going to happen. You're going to fulfill that lust. You're going to follow after that desire. You're going to meet that need in your life. And when you're done, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be downhearted. You're going to be disgusted with yourself. And you're going to be angry that you fell into sin one more time. And the devil will be rejoicing because he said, I got him again. We will go after happiness to our own demise. I know if you're here this morning, you desire to be happy. A 17th century philosopher said this, "All men seek happiness without exception. The motive of every man is happiness, even the one who has hung himself." Ultimately, it is after a desire of happiness that he would end his own life. And the sad fact is that most people, even most Christians, are living for the weekend. They're living for that next fix of happiness, that next little piece of joy that they might for a few minutes escape from the reality of their life that they've built, by the way. They desire to escape from the reality of their life, and they live for that weekend or for the few minutes of joy that they can have, the break from the mundane, and they desire it and they go after it and they seek it with all that they have. Even Christians look for a few minutes to escape. A few minutes of happiness. But we're looking in the wrong place. How many of you believe the Bible has the answers to life problems? So if we have a problem with a lack of joy, if we have a problem with a lack of happiness in our life, we need to look to the Bible. Our text here this morning says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." God will show you where to find happiness. And in his presence is the fullness of joy. Now, the Word of God has a lot to say about happiness. I, for the next couple of weeks, am going to be dealing with this topic of happiness. This morning, specifically, dealing with the hunger for happiness. As we first of all consider the pursuit of circumstantial happiness. Men are looking in the wrong places for their happiness. If I asked you the question this morning, what makes you happy? You know what, let's back up. Let's say if I asked you this morning, what do you want out of life? Somewhere in there, that's a good answer, Brother Garland. Somewhere in there, most people's answer is going to get to the point where they just say, well, I just want to be happy. Some people might say, well, I want this or I want that or I would like to do this or I would like to do that. But if you continue to narrow down what their ambition is or what their desire is, ultimately they just say, I just want to be happy. All these young people right here, you're looking at your life and you're trying to decide, what am I going to do? Am I going to serve God or am I going to go my own way? Am I going to have a good job or am I going to be poor? Am I going to be famous or popular, or am I going to be a hermit? Where am I going to end up? What am I going to do? Ultimately, in all of your decisions you make, I know down in your heart you just want to be happy. So I'm giving you this morning some direction about how to be happy. We could ask, what makes you happy? We might get a lot of different answers. Some might find happiness, or believe they would find happiness, in abundance. They think they would find happiness in abundance. I can't tell you the people I've talked to, and they feel like their financial problems, if they just had more finances, they could be happy. I wouldn't have these problems if I just had more money. Boy, I could finally relax. I could finally just go do what I want to do. I could just be what I want to be. There wouldn't be any more stress in my life if I just had more money. You know, more money is more stress. You better believe it. Your happiness does not come from abundance. But I can tell you that a lot of people in this world think it does. To the tune of 70 million. I'm sorry. That's people. It's actually $70 billion was spent last year on the lottery. $70 billion was spent last year on the lottery. That's more than all movie sales. That's more than all ticket sales to any sporting event. That's more than all video game sales. All of those things combined. Why? For that chance. The chance to be happy. They think, maybe I could be happy. I heard a good description this last week about the likelihood of you winning the lottery. It's like 1 in 300 million. So to try and put that into perspective for you to understand, it was put like this. There are 300 million homes in the Western Hemisphere. I have taken $1 million and hidden it in the basement of one house. If you give me a dollar, I will give you one guess to guess the address of that house. And by the millions, people do it because they think abundance will equal happiness. That's not the case. Some might think they could find happiness in activity, certain pleasures. We are a pleasure-crazed society today. It's all about entertainment and self-satisfaction and fulfillment. All the different games that are available, all the different movies that are available, all the different means of entertainment that are out there. They might think, well, if I could do this or if I could do that, if I could just fulfill this desire that I have, I could finally be happy. What I'm saying is that there's a belief that a certain set of circumstances, if things aligned in a certain way, people feel that they would find happiness. How many of you know that's not true? You understand this morning, I know that in our heart we believe that and we know it's not true, but even as Christians, many times we put our happiness into circumstances. How many of you have ever bought something that didn't live up to its expectation? You know what I mean? You desire it. You're like, man, if I could just get this, if I could just have that car, if I could just own this, or man, if I could get that airsoft gun, or if I could get that that particular gun, or that particular, what do you ladies like, sewing machines? What do you ladies shop after? I don't know. Now I'm in trouble, right? You guys like guns? You ladies like guns? Okay. If I could get that, Miss Kim, if I could get that gun, right? What are you after? Some ladies, give me something. Shoes. Oh, man, a living. Now we're stepping in it. Shoes. If I could have those shoes, I would be happy. How many shoes do you have in your closet already? This last week, I had such a perfect example of this. My son, Caleb, came to me at the close of Vacation Bible School, and he said, Dad, when I got my prize for going through the tunnel, I picked this, and he had a softball. And it's a nice softball. And he said, but I was wondering if I could trade it for that. And there was a dart blow gun that you blow the darts through up there on the stage. And I said, well, you have to wait till after Vacation Bible School. And if it's still there and you still want it, I will see. So he came to me after VBS was all over. And he said, Dad, could I trade it for that? So he'd been thinking about getting that dart gun for a couple days, right? The only reason I let him do that is I wanted to teach him something, because I knew that dart gun from the dollar store was dollar store value. I knew that dart gun was not going to be. I said, okay, you sure you want to trade it? He said, yeah, I want to trade it. I said, okay, you can trade it. So he went and he put the ball back and he got the dart gun. About 30 minutes later, he came back to me and he says, Dad, this doesn't work very good. The dart comes out and it goes like this. I said, I know. I bet you wish you would have kept the ball, huh? Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied. I let him trade because I wanted to try and help him learn a little bit of that principle, to be happy with what you have. Our happiness is not going to come from the circumstances, from the abundance that we have, or the activities that we get to participate in. Happiness is not brought into our life through the maintaining of a sufficient flow of favorable circumstances. If that was the case, if we had to maintain a flow of favorable circumstances, most of us would live hard lives. The fact is, have you ever heard anybody say life is hard? It's because that's how we're looking at it many times. We desire that we could maintain a flow of favorable circumstances. Even if we could somehow gain happiness by the correct set of circumstances, do you understand that we have no means of continuing or maintaining that flow? They're fleeting. They come and they go. Sunny days are here and then they're gone, and then we've got rain for another week. And if you're only happy when it's sunny, then I'm sorry, next week you're going to be miserable. It's not because of what it looks like outside. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 17 and 18 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." If we pursue happiness in these things that are temporal, they are fleeting. They are fading. They won't last. And your happiness won't last, because we're trying to attain it through circumstances. You have all reached the disturbing time in your life where you've realized the accumulation of goods, the accomplishment of deeds, and the achievements of your life do not make you happy. Some of these young people haven't reached that point yet, and they might still in their life think, oh, if I could achieve this, or if I could accomplish that, or if I could make this goal happen, or if I could earn this amount of money per hour. How many of you ever finally got that raise and found out that wasn't enough to pay the bills either? And now I need another raise. And I need another raise. And it's not enough. If I could just get this. This realization is intensified by the fact that we are able to observe those around us, the countless numbers of other people who have attained possessions, who hold great positions, who have places of power and of influence, and they are no happier than we. I'm telling you, we're living in a world today that is unhappy, and they're seeking for it in all the wrong places. The Apostle Paul, in Luke chapter 26, verse number 21, was taken into captivity. He was arrested. He was going to be put into jail, and he was standing there before King Agrippa. He had no reason to be happy according to earthly circumstances. Yet he said, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa." He's standing there, arrested, in bonds, ready to put in jail. And he said, I think myself happy, King Agrippa. That word happiness there speaks of being greatly blessed, of being well off. How many of us in handcuffs would say, boy, am I blessed. Boy, am I just well off. He was greatly blessed and he was well off. Paul understood that his happiness was not measured by his circumstance, but because he knew God. God was the source of his happiness. The pursuit of circumstantial happiness is not going to happen. You understand this morning that it is only the pursuit of Christ that brings happiness. The pursuit of Christ that brings happiness. There's an illustration of a little pup. Probably not as big as Bob Gamble's Great Dane, which is a pup. It's a pup that's bigger than most dogs. There was a little pup, and he was running in a circle, chasing his tail. How many of you ever seen a dog chase his tail? He's chasing his tail. He's going in a circle, and he's just chasing his tail, and there's this old pup. You know, pups get tired. Dogs, they get tired. And this old dog's sitting there, and he looks at the pup chasing his tail, and he says, what are you doing? And then finally he stops. He's like, man, he says, I have evaluated the problems of the universe, and I have determined without a doubt that happiness is the greatest thing for all dogs. And the older pup said, wow. And he said, and I have found that my tail is happiness. Therefore, when I catch it, I shall be truly happy. And the old dog says, I too have pondered the problems of the universe. And I too have come to the realization that happiness for a dog is the greatest thing. However, in my age, I have realized that my tail is happiness. And the more I chase it, the further it gets from me. But when I go about my business, it follows me. You see, happiness does not come because we as a Christian pursue happiness. Happiness comes when we pursue Christ. And happiness, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Happiness will follow you everywhere you go, into every circumstance, into every problem, into every trial, no matter what happens on the outside. You've got happiness in your heart because you're pursuing Christ, not pursuing happiness. Happiness is an outward expression of an inner experience that is begun in grace. It is knowing that we are loved unreservedly and forgiven unconditionally. Happiness is never found by pursuing it, but by pursuing God. That is why, for my life verse, I have seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When you ponder that verse and you think about it, it's just amazing how all-encompassing it is. You understand there is a recognition in that verse that there are some other things that you might have to pursue in the course of your life. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God. You might have to pursue an understanding and a knowledge of the workplace that you are at and how to fulfill the job that you have to do there. And you might have to pursue some knowledge and some understanding about how to run and operate a vehicle in order to be safe on the roads. And there may be various a sundry of things that we pursue in this life. But he said, seek first God. And it's exciting to me. I don't think it's a stretch of Scripture at all. I don't think it's imposing upon the ability or the meaning of the Scripture or the ability of God. When we say all these things shall be added unto you, I don't think I'm stretching it when I say we can put whatever it is you desire in your heart, whatever it is you long for, whatever it is you think would give you joy, whatever it is you find that you need. God said, seek Him first, and all these things shall be added unto you. You can have that. But the problem is you're dedicating your life and your hours and your time and your energy in pursuit of that joy, in pursuit of that happiness, in pursuit of that job, in pursuit of that particular thing, and you are missing it. The faster you go after it, the faster it runs away. If you would stop chasing your tail and start pursuing God, you would find happiness comes after you. Comes after you. If I told you this morning that you could take this pill and you would be happy. If I said this pill, 100% guaranteed, take this and you will have happiness. The majority of you would take it. You know how I know? Because there are millions of people in the world today, whether they're doing it through prescription drugs that are stated to make them happy, or they're doing it through illicit drugs that they're not supposed to have, they're doing it to pursue happiness. They're living a discouraged, downhearted life, and they don't know how to make it from day to day. And they say, I don't know how to function. I don't know how to get through. I'm so discouraged. Life's so hard. They're pursuing happiness instead of pursuing Christ. I'm giving you the answer this morning. I'm giving you the pill. I'm telling you what you got to do. And if you do that, you can be happy. The Bible has a lot to say about happiness, and we're going to look at some of these things over the next couple of weeks. Let me just give you a couple of them this morning. The Bible says, happy is the man whose sins are forgiven. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 7, he said, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. Blessed are they. That word blessed means happy. Happy is the man whose iniquities are forgiven. Let me ask you this morning, have your sins been forgiven? The greatest joy of any believer is knowing the fact that his sins have been forgiven. To know that I don't deserve it, but God in his love for me died for me. He gave himself for me that I, through him, might be made righteous. I could never be righteous on my own. But when I come to Christ, he makes me righteous by washing away my sins with his shed blood, by cleansing me, by forgiving me of all my sins. And I ask you this morning, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know for sure that Jesus has forgiven you of your sin? You say, I want to be happy. It starts there. It starts with knowing that your sins have been forgiven. See, I want to be happy. I'm sick of going through life discouraged and downhearted. I'm sick of being just so disappointed all the time. Can I ask you, have your sins been forgiven? Proverbs 16:20 says, he that handleth the matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Trust God. You know, God said it a long time before Bob McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy. God said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. God says, be careful for nothing. Help me out. But in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is God saying? He's saying, don't worry. Trust God. And you will be happy. Just trust God, and you'll be happy. In Sunday school, I taught on membership matters and the membership matters class, I just gave a quick thing about how to be happy in a church body. I want to give you that this morning just quickly, just going to give you these thoughts and the references and talk to you about it just a little bit. But how to be a happy church member, first of all, is you need to be saved. You need to have salvation. Do you know that your sins are forgiven? You need to be in submission. You need to be in submission. Obedience, happiness is obeying the Lord. Doing what God says. Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, and Romans chapter 6, verse number 3. Submission and obedience. This morning we're going to have baptism here in just a few minutes. And these people that come this morning for baptism, they're saying, you know what, I'm going to put my fears aside. I'm going to put my apprehension aside. Sometimes they're afraid of water. Sometimes they're just afraid I'm going to dunk them. But they say, you know what, I'm going to put my fears aside and I'm going to obey God. I'm going to follow the Lord. And I'm going to be obedient. Happiness comes when we obey. Have you ever not felt like doing something? You just said, man, I don't want to do it. But then when you got done, that joy you felt for having done what you knew you were supposed to do, for having been obedient, for having done what you knew was right, happiness comes through submission. Happiness comes through supplication. We need to be consistent in prayer. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, and 1 John chapter 3, verse number 22. We need to be consistent in prayer. Happiness comes through the study of the Word of God. Systematic Bible study, learning about God. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 3:16. Happiness comes through sacrifice, giving to others and to the Lord. Happiness comes through soul winning, winning souls to Christ. There's many things in the Bible, and over the coming weeks, we're going to talk about those things that deal with happiness. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 13 says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and that getteth understanding. I'm trying to give you some wisdom. I'm trying to give you some understanding. You say, I want to be happy? Take the wisdom of the Word of God and apply it to your life, and you can be happy. Happy is the man that getteth wisdom and that getteth understanding.